The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 17th of June, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's all say good morning to D-Mac and the Gollin. I hope everybody had a wonderful Father's Day. In fact, I hope that some of you took the time, fathers and mothers, but fathers primarily, to sit with your children and listen to some good Bahamian music and tell them what it means. I hope you fathers took the time to sit with your sons this weekend and talk to each other and teach your son some things. Listen to the lyrics of that song and explore what they could be talking about. How much of it is satire? How much of it is real life? How much of it is a message within a message? How much of it has been perverted by modern conceptions of relationships, romance, intimacy, partnership, marriage? I hope everybody had a wonderful Father's weekend. We have lots and lots to talk about this morning, and I do mean lots and lots to talk about. First thing I want to say, I just have a quick private message for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Go check your website. Just go check on your website.
Why you want the police to check their website? What's there so?
Nothing.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Just go check the website. That's all I'm saying. Go check the website. And I'm being very serious. Y'all go check on your website.
So you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
Go check on it.
Everybody needs to go check on the police force website right now to see what Erin is talking about.
Absolutely. Especially members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Unless, of course, you're driving.
So don't check.
Don't check right now. Mm-hmm. You check when you stop the car.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in park.
There's been a number of fatalities recently,
Erin. Yeah, I want to run through those very quickly. I have a problem. I'm tired of being terrorized on the Bahamian roads by people who should have enough sense to know what the traffic controls are, but apparently do not have enough sense to follow them. I'm tired of it. The Royal Bahamas Police Force obviously is not tired of it because they have not implemented a substantive police traffic strategy to manage traffic in New Providence or on the Family Island. So here, let's run through the most recent traffic fatalities. First story, 10th of June, 2024. Woman killed in traffic accident on Long Island. A woman was killed in a traffic accident shortly after 3 p.m. in Petties, Long Island. On the 9th of June, the accident involved a black Ford Ranger and a white Honda Stream. The driver of the Honda, a woman, was taken to the clinic and later died. The status of the driver of the Ford was unknown. Speaking to people familiar with the incident, it appears that the driver and the passengers in the other vehicle are doing okay, possibly in stable condition. And it's possible that the woman died before the crash. and it is her death and obvious lack of control of the vehicle that caused the crash. We await a report as to the investigation on the matter. 14th of June, 2024, mom of three killed in traffic accident. Robin Benicord, a recent nursing school graduate, was looking forward to sitting her upcoming exams and getting registered with the Bahamas Nursing Council before she was killed in a traffic accident Wednesday night. The 35-year-old mother was reportedly exiting a Suzuki Jeep on her way to visit a relative near Mini Street and Balfour Avenue when a passing vehicle struck her after 7 p.m. She later succumbed to her injuries in hospital. She left behind a husband and three young children and many, many friends and colleagues. Her close friend and colleague, Rodrika Brown, described Robin, a personal care assistant at Sandilands, as strong-headed but serious about her career. President of the Bahamas Nurses Union, Muriel Lightburn, also expressed sadness over Robin's death. Another story, 14th of June, 2024, pedestrian killed in traffic accident. A pedestrian was killed on Friday afternoon after he was struck by a truck in the intersection of Carmichael Road and Jackfish Drive. The victim was crossing Carmichael Road when he was hit. Chief Superintendent Chrislyn Skipping said the driver of the Dodge Ram truck remained on the scene and is assisting with the investigation. 15th of June, man arrested after allegedly killing brother. A man was fatally struck by a vehicle that his brother was reportedly driving following an argument between the two around 3 p.m. Skipping said the older brother knocked his brother down in a Nissan Note after an argument in the car. The older brother is in police custody. 16th of June, 2024, jaws of life used to extract traffic victim. Police in Abaco are investigating a traffic accident that has left one male dead. The incident reportedly occurred around 11 p.m. on Saturday night on S.C. Boodle Highway in Treasure Key, involved two vehicles, a white Ford F-250 and a white Suzuki Carry. Third story, it is just breaking news snippet from our news. I am not sure that this is a traffic fatality. A body was found near the highway, we call East-West Highway, and near R.M. Bailey. Body was found with injuries. This is a possible hit and run. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and potentially 6 traffic fatalities in 7 days, 8 days, 9 days. I want to make this point that it appears as if the police are not interested in enforcing traffic controls. I continually ask to see, I'm really nobody, but I continually ask to see, to have a conversation with state actors to determine if the state actually has a road traffic policing strategy that can be implemented island-wide and country-wide. It is obvious that people no longer care about traffic controls. The number of professional Bahamians, young men and women, older men and women, white, black, and Asian, the number of people who are driving to work every morning with their faces stuck in their cell phones. The number of people, in fact, just on my way to work this morning, the number of people who almost ran head-on into me because they on their cell phone as opposed to watching the road. This is something that we have to begin to take seriously. And if you don't want to take it seriously because the lives of Bahamians are continually at risk, that Bahamians and ordinary people are being terrorized on the road every day, if you don't want to take it seriously for Bahamians and people who are resident here, don't you think that we have a duty of care to tourists that we invite to come to the country to rent cars, to rent scooters, to rent push cycles, electric push cycles, to rent ATVs, to rent open-ended jeeps, the number of tourists that we put in open-air buses? Do we not have a duty of care to them to ensure that the road traffic is being managed properly and traffic controls are being enforced? practically every commercial driver that approaches Shirley Street in the southbound lane from the bridge on Mackey Street, in the right turn lane, who just act as if there is a law that says you could turn right on red. There has never been a law in New Providence, in the Bahamas, the Commonwealth thereof, that permits anybody to turn right on red anywhere. And since we've just allowed that to happen without any actual enforcement, despite the fact that you could post officers there 24/7 and catch the infractions, people are now just running the red light in any direction. In fact, this morning, while I was at the Village Road, Wolf Road, Soldier Road, Burnett Road intersection, on Village Road southbound to turn onto Wolf Road, I just missed my light. When I got to the line, the light was yellow, and I said, I'm not going to run through the yellow light. And thank God that I didn't, because somebody decided that they were going to turn right on red from Burnett Road onto Village Road, even though the light cycle had rotated to Wolf Road. Wolf Road had the green light. So it's not just heinous that right-thinking Bahamians who have jobs could afford to buy a car from a car company, not one little Japanese import, not one little second-hand car, but people who could afford to buy a car and have actual insurance have no regard for the law, for other human beings, or for themselves. And you could say, Aaron, you just being self-righteous. That's fine. I will be self-righteous on behalf of the 6 people who have died over the last 8 years in traffic accidents. I shall be self-righteous on their behalf, since nobody else seems to care, since the Minister of Energy and Transport does not seem to understand the breadth of her portfolio, since the Royal Bahamas Police Force don't understand that you can't just decide that as a matter of protest, you're not going to enforce traffic controls. But what you are going to do is pretend that you're enforcing traffic controls, when really what you're just doing is hosting illegal roadblocks, conducting income-generating exercises, when you should be enforcing traffic controls. I say I have a call on the line, and then we're going to move. We're moving off of this topic, and we're going to talk about some other amazing things in the news. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Okay, here's something in the background. Don't worry, producer. Let's go. Mr. Newry, I'm going to move on to some other stories. Outrage over fishermen in distress. Producer, let's take that call just in case it's somebody who wants to talk about traffic for a moment. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you.
Great. Listen, I'm annoyed to the fact that every time there's an accident in Abaco, somebody is killed. You know, you don't think maybe it's time that they had to put some high-speed bumps and all over the same highway that they speed to slow them down?
Well, I think
every accident shouldn't result in somebody being killed.
Absolutely.
If you're putting in discipline, obviously, then you have to actually make them disciplined by putting speed bumps on the road somewhere.
Right. What I'd also, like to know, oh, go on.
Yeah, also, I'm also annoyed that you cannot find parking on Monocue Beach. You know, you will see the beach is full of cars, but no one in the water. Because the people are parking all day and they're going over to Rose Island. So maybe it's time that the government either put me parking meter there, make some money off of something, because you cannot enjoy the beach anymore because there's no parking.
Listen, that's the least of our problems. We've got at least one vendor operating on Montague Beach, a site that when I applied for a vendor's permit to operate on Montague Beach, I was told that all vendors operating on Montague Beach must operate an enterprise that can be completely and totally removed from the beach at the end of each day. And now we have a vendor with a permanent structure on Montague Beach. And the question I ask is, if that vendor is attracting so much traffic to Montague Beach, why haven't the authorities opened up the eastern bathroom next to Montague Ramp? Right? Here's another pet peeve about Montague Beach. Why are people parking on the park? There's a park for poor people and children who belong to poor people so that they could enjoy the things that middle class and upper middle class Bahamians enjoy. And Bahamians who could afford cars decide that they're going to park their cars on the park. It's the best part. They don't park their cars on the part of the park that floods. They park it on the high ground. So what are children to do if they come to the park after a rainy day? Why should children have to compete with cars? Why are the police not regularly patrolling? In fact, why don't they have a policing strategy for Montague Beach? Why don't the police ever catch these people who are fishing with fishing rods off the whale tails, off the rocks at Montague Beach? Why is it that we supposedly have so much infrastructure and none of it is being properly operated? Why are the bins on Montague Beach still too small for the space and the activity that occurs in it? Why are beaches and parks staff not assigned to Montague Beach? So they're there all day collecting trash constantly and preparing it for regular pickup throughout the day if necessary. Why are we just generating borrowing millions of dollars to waste on poorly strategized or poorly enforced programs? It makes no sense. Here are some texts. You may soon add to the traffic accidents on Eastern Road if they don't fix the road. There are about 5 different holes, about 8 square feet. Whomever dig it up, and they didn't even put any orange cones to warn drivers. These were here going on for 2 weeks now, and no one paved it back. You notice that nobody has actually painted the lines in the road, in Fox Hill Road, which makes it now difficult to distinguish exactly where the turn lane is. And in fact, when you repaint the lines, don't you think you should do an education campaign about what the lines mean? Do you know how many thousands of drivers drive through the Blair intersection, that's Newgate Road, the Johnson Road intersection, and the Fox Hill Road intersection with the Eastern Road, and they have no idea why the lines are there, what they're for, and what the people who actually know what they're for are doing when they use them? Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Eric.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hope all is well with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, with Montague Beach, the guys deal there a lot. There,
yes, ma'am.
There is a high police presence, you know, because when I'm out there, they pass, especially late into the evening. Mm-hmm. When I'm out there, they pass, like, periodically, one right behind the other. So they are always out there.
Do they manage the cars? I mean, do they actually ever stop and tell people, you know y'all ain't supposed to park there, right?
No management.
Do they come through and they tell?
They do drive through. Like I said, I don't build during the day, but at night when I'm there, they do drive through and they shine their lights and so on and so forth. And cars be, like you say, on the grass and stuff that, you know, most of the times be those gentlemen out there who's be playing those games. And yeah, for the most part, they don't stop.
See,
they drive through, but their presence are there.
I'm not as mad as the boy them parking the cars there, you know, when you realize that sometimes taxis are taking up all of the parking spaces.
Now, that's a daily problem. That, see, like I say, I would only see it during the day for the taxis because I don't be there in the day. But, yeah. And then they have a lot of those young persons out there now who, in my view, are hustling the police. You know, I mean, not the police, my bad.
The tourists.
And I don't, I'm uncomfortable with that because I think it would be better off if they had, like you say, a removable setup where the guests come, if they see your items for sale and they come to you rather than you hustling them, trying to get out of the taxis or trying to get into the taxis or they trying to sightsee and, you know, you all over them with your items and they be telling you no and you're still trying to push. I feel like that's really uncomfortable for the guests.
Right.
Also, that is something I think need to be handled.
See, I get that as well, right? I'm not going, okay, I'm a vendor. And let me tell you something, that personal face-to-face interaction, you capture the mind of a tourist and then convince them, come follow me, I got things to sell you, right? I get that. The problem isn't in and of itself the hustling young people who are trying to take advantage of every opportunity to interact with a tourist. It's that we don't have structured spaces
That's what I'm saying. Yes. I understand as much gas as that tourists that area. How is it that there's not a spot there where they can put out like a few tents, a few tables that they can bring, set up their wares, and allow the guests to walk around? You know, it don't have to be a big market place. Yes. It's just something small for the one or two persons who are there.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, cousin. You have a great day. Let's go. We got a couple more texts. Great show as usual. Miss Green, after what happened on the weekend, that song was not appropriate. Dear texter, after what happened on the weekend, that song is very appropriate. So we're just not going to talk about the things that are happening to us. We're not going to provide young people with any resources. We're not going to create an environment where if older people don't want to talk to them, at the very least they could glean from what they observe what healthy relationships are like, what healthy intimate personal interaction is like. We could just let these young people suffer thinking that the problems they're going through is only them that are going through it, and so they should eat that shame and die on top of the hill. No, we have to begin having the difficult conversations, and if we have tools available to us to make those conversations easier, then let's do that. Perhaps I was a little too glib in my opening. Perhaps I should have said, fathers, I hope you all took this opportunity to speak to your children, especially your young adult men and young adult women, about building healthy, personal, and intimate partner relationships, creating family and community structures to support you in your search for a wife, for a life, for a family, a healthy family. We should just stop having those conversations then. We should just let young men continue to walk around with the unprocessed trauma of their primary caregiving relationships, turning knots in their stomachs until they become big grown men who snap when a big grown woman who also has not been socialized in a healthy way decides she gonna cut him at his most vulnerable place, at the most vulnerable time. That's what we're gonna do? We're gonna continue doing that, Dexter? No, sir. What we're gonna do is we're gonna figure out how to talk about, we should be talking about these things. And Father's Day is the perfect time to talk about them. Now the text. The text is right about the Eastern Road. I saw several near misses on Eastern Road because the road is either cut up or dug up. This is dangerous. To make matters worse, there is poor lighting on Eastern Road in the night. And when will they paint lines on the eight-legged roundabout on JFK? It's like the police and road works want accidents to happen on that eight-legged roundabout when we have no lines painted to teach cars to stay in their lane. How can you tell if you are drifting over into another lane? Spatial awareness is how. But if you're on your phone while you're driving, you ain't gonna make it. Texas says, this has got to be the fourth world. Can't be a third world country. It must be fourth world. Kindly also tell mothers to... Texter. Kindly tell these mothers to stay laying down to have children so that they can have company or a child. But Texter, what type of madness is that? The Bible says that you older women need to teach younger women how to be women. I thought you were going to say it's time for mothers to tell their daughters and their children that there are birthing practices that they shouldn't lay down while they're giving birth. I thought that's what you was going to say. That mothers should talk to their children about giving birth. But that's not what you said at all, Texter. Another text. Aaron, remember when the tourism officials said they'd be removing those stalls, illegally encroaching on Long Wharf? A month ago, there was another announcement that they're extending Junkanoo Beach straight to Arawaki. Why? Haven't we learned a lesson from the wrong way construction on Bay Street? Why are we marring our natural beauty with these shanty towns? Clean, beautiful space is a thing. Ministry of Tourism, Arawaki proper now looks like an unorganized mess. They've jammed these uncoordinated mishmash of structures everywhere. Indeed, they have. But you know what people say? If you can let Lyford Key be a shanty town, why not let Arawaki be a shanty town. Just I'm using the strict definition of shanty town. There's a cake factory on Bay Street where taxi drivers do this with impunity, loading and unloading passages in the path of oncoming cars. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In fact, I just want to say, Mr. Newry, remember when the Minister of Tourism said that they have proposed, they've tabled a bill that will create a tourism development fund separate from the consolidated fund?
Yep.
It's like somebody told people in the tourist sector that they are not just essential workers, but they are like uniformed forces. They have special privileges. Mm. Like they could park their car anywhere. They could ignore any stop sign, any pedestrian crossing, any sidewalk, any red light. They could do whatever they feel they need to do in the interest of tourism. Mm. We'll talk about that maybe a bit more on Wednesday. I don't forget my friend is working in the tourism industry too. Texas says, Aaron, you're a liberal. Of course you don't want us to procreate. Wow, Mr. Newry, did I say anything in my pontifications that suggested that I don't want people to procreate?
No.
Okay, then. Good stuff.
But you are a liberal.
Possibly.
Yeah, just making sure you.
Yeah, then. No. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
I may be the most liberal of all the conservative people you know. Mm-hmm. All right, another story. Outrage over fishermen in distress. Now, this is what I got on the 15th of June. That is Saturday. A man who claimed to be a Bahamian fisherman was reportedly rescued days ago after his vessel capsized. In a video that has since gone viral, the fisherman explained to persons in another vessel that was in the vicinity that he was fishing near Bimini when his boat took on water. He requested that the men take him back to Bimini, which they declined. They offered him water and informed him that the Coast Guard would be on the way. The response to the fishermen ignited a firestorm on social media as many cried shame on the men for not offering to assist or rescue the fishermen in distress. So we're going to fast forward to today's Tribune, front page, bottom fold. Americans defend not rescuing stranded Bahamian fishermen.
Hmm.
Americans who declined to rescue a Bahamian fisherman they found stranded at sea have received threats from angry residents. A viral video showed a purported Bahamian fisherman standing on his overturned vessel after men in another boat approached. The man said he was on a fishing trip when water entered his vessel. He said he had been stuck for a day and that other boaters passed him and did not offer help. Wow. Other boaters sailing freely through the Bahamian waters, not helping people in distress. In the video, he asked the Americans to be taken to Bimini. However, they declined and assured him officials from the U.S. Coast Guard were on the way. The Americans offered the man water, which he declined. One of them noted Bimini was 100 miles away. After people questioned why the fishermen failed to offer more help, a Gulfstream Custom Rods Company representative told the Tribune yesterday, quote, "All you need to know is without our help, this man would have been lost. We got him the help he needed while listening to Coast Guard instructions over the radio. I'm amazed at the false narrative that's been spread about this event. Desperate people in desperate situations have been known to do desperate things. I was just keeping my crew safe. This man was in another country and not in the Bahamas, so I didn't want to complicate things further because he would have only gotten on our boat if I said I would take him to Bimini." So say he was going to take him to Bimini and then don't. "That would have been illegal and we didn't even have the fuel or time available to do that if it was legal to do." The representative said the company had received, quote, "hundreds of messages of threats since posting its video." He said his group did not leave the Bahamian man alone, but waited another 15 minutes until the U.S. Coast Guard arrived. Tribune understands the Bahamian fisherman is a West End Grand Bahama resident and is currently detained in the United States of America. Oh, my. And so, I guess the question is, what exactly were the instructions that the Coast Guard gave to the crew of that boat? Because I was thinking the U.S. would have had to, the Coast Guard would have had to tell me, look here, if you see a can of fava beans on that boat, it's probably Hannibal Lecter. Do not let him on the boat. What other reason would there be for not rescuing a man at sea? So it turns out that they was not in Bahamian waters. The boat representative says they were roughly 100 miles away from Bimini. He says they were in another country, so we imagine that he had entered American territory. I don't know. This is a rough one. What would have happened if a big shark came and knocked him off that boat and bit that man while y'all were on your boat watching? Is that what the world has come to? And are you saying to me that in the case that this individual was a, how was it termed? A desperate person, a desperate people in a desperate situation, right? What if?
Mm-hmm.
The number of people on your boat, you don't think that you could have safely detained him? You don't think maybe that is possible?
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, we are just hoping that we have a little bit of humanity within us. That was an interesting story. I'm glad we had a follow-up on it. Another quick story. Oh, we got some more texts. Says, I'm tired of being blown off the light on Mackey Street to turn right onto Parkgate when the light is on green and I am awaiting the turning arrow. I'm sick of it. On Friday, I had one car go around me on the left and another went around me on the right and turned into Parkgate Road, both nearly causing accidents. Where are the traffic officers' help? So let's talk about that intersection. Village Road, northbound from the Bernard Wolf Soldier intersection, approaching Parkgate. There are lights there. If you will notice, there are lights on the left-hand side of the road and there are lights on the right-hand side of the road. Both sets of lights have a turning arrow, a separate turning arrow, which means if that turning arrow is red, you cannot turn right on red.
I think the texter is talking about driving south.
You could be talking about both.
He say he's turning right.
So oh, right, right.
So you're driving south.
So on the southbound lane, there's, I think, at least one light, mm-hmm. and there's a turn arrow. If...
Can we turn right, or that's always turn left?
So if you're southbound, it's straight and turn right only,
mm-hmm.
right? When the light is... When the turn right light is green, the right arrow pointing right is green, mm-hmm. then those cars have the right of way to turn right. Once that light goes off, you no longer have the right of way. And you have to wait until the northbound traffic clears to turn right.
Mm-hmm.
The people heading northbound on Village Road in the left turn lane to turn onto Parkgate, they have the right of way. You don't have the right of way turning right from Village Road onto Parkgate southbound if your green turning light is no longer on. These are things that you're supposed to know, and many of you do know him, but you just decide you don't care to follow them. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Good. I got a sweet one for you.
Yes, sir?
Coming on, when you go around the roundabout by AFI, or by the Grove Police Station.
Okay, yes.
The bus drivers have created a bus stop right there with no sign in the front of the police.
Yep.
And the police wouldn't, you could even, the people coming around the roundabout, not knowing this bus is going to stop. He stops right there by me, somebody's standing there, he stops right there by me, you don't care. And this right cross on the police station, so you see why all these other things are happening.
Yep.
But the police would not come out. Well, they know it's not a bus stop. The people know it's not a bus stop. But the police does nothing, and that creates accidents.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's right in the front of them, right in the front.
See, I'm going to be generous and say that the police have been in protest for a minimum of 25 years, and this is the evidence of their unrequited, but that's like a love affair. But this is, I think, the manifestation of an unattended crisis. Nobody's paying attention to the police.
And the next thing, Aaron.
Yes,
people,
sir.
They have no respect for metal. When I say metal, I mean vehicle.
Oh,
you
no.
could look back all you want and make sure nothing coming or nobody walking behind you. And the minute you're backing out, here comes somebody just walk right behind you and your truck backing out. It's like they don't care. They want to get knocked down because they think They always tell you, oh, you can take care of me if you knock me down.
Well, PMH. Had PMH.
Yes, and they don't know how, but these people ain't got no insurance.
There you go, sir.
They walk. They have no respect for vehicles.
We're having a real problem with spatial awareness. We're having a real problem with critical thinking.
The next thing, when the light turns on the green for the traffic to flow, whichever we want to do, but don't try to cross the road then.
Yeah.
Some people have to right away.
Well, you know, something happened in schools where we stopped teaching pedestrian safety.
The number of adults
that refuse to walk single file in the road is astounding. Astounding. Anyway, caller, I got to go to this break. When I get back from the break, men on jet ski rob business, man remanded on sex charge, Sweeting 12 new shanty towns discovered. Like I said, we got lots of news. We'll be right back.
Stay informed with the NASA Guide and your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The NASA Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The NASA Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Sign up now for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race.
Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Taking place Monday, July 15th to Sunday, July 21st.
At the Hope Center and the Kendall Ice Exchange.
We are shooting hoops instead of guns.
Phone 601-4842
or visit our Facebook page.
Sign up today for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race Basketball Classic.
Peace on the Streets 2024 is coming.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycle?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Can kag biwo medical kifwete tetyo nambay multiple service. Menu na for terrorist diagnostic center. Image, sisa no fair. Memba gay pou lot location nou yo. Image na governor ni na kamakelo. Mem si nou ta bezwen yon radiografi, mammografi, ekografi, or a scanner pou fam gwas. Nou gen yo. Yon ekip commissioner conseil radiolog. Certifié tout employé yo. Yo chak ak pwap domen yo. Yo bay dokte ou rezilta ou nan 24 tan. Rele 328-81-57 pou randevou nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, lokasyon Kamakelod ou bien imaj nan Grosvenor jodia.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We're going through the news, but I got to get to these texts. The text says, The RBPF website won't come up. But what's wrong with it? That's what's wrong with it. It won't come up. That's all I know. That's all I know.
It no longer exists.
I mean, technically, the thing say me family history. And then one says maspolice.org. Yeah, anyway, I just saying, just go, if you touch a police officer today and tell them, go check on your website.
Make sure it's safe.
Yeah, I mean, same message I have. You got a mango tree, go check on your mango tree.
Mm-hmm.
You got sure a scarlet plum tree, go check on your scarlet plum
Make
tree.
Make sure it's safe.
Make sure it's safe. Aaron C. Oh. Last thing Bahamians want to be doing is threatening Americans. Y'all better play with y'all kids and not the great American overseers who make sure we have a dollar value and tourist industry.
I say dollar value.
Okay. Good morning, Aaron. I don't know if I misunderstood you, but that guy who was found on R.M. Bailey Park had gunshot wounds, according to Ms. Skippings. But I said I was not sure. What I said was there was an early story breaking news, and at that point, it only indicated that the body, there were obvious signs of injury on the body, but they didn't indicate what the injuries were. I think bullet wounds typically, not all the time, are pretty easy to identify. And I thought that if they did not indicate clearly that it was a result of gunshot wounds, that maybe it was a traffic fatality, a hit and run, given the area in which the body was found. I'm glad that there's more information available to the public. I hope you're not upset, though, that I went down that sort of road of interrogation, because it is not unreasonable to presume or to consider that it may have been a hit and run. Aaron, see, we are thinking about dealing with the traffic issues like we are still being governed by Hubert Ingraham in 1992. In New York City, if you run the red light, a police officer need not be present. There are stoplight cameras to solve this issue. The police needs to use technology rather than request for more bodies. I feel you, Texter. I remember being a co-host on Connected with Lester Cox when he had in studio representatives from Rev Analytics, Rev Analytics being a subsidiary of Cable Bahamas or Rev Bahamas. They were talking about a pilot project that they had conducted using cameras that had been erected at the Marathon Prince Charles or Robinson Road East-West Highway intersection. That's Marathon Road East-West Highway Robinson Road intersection. That the individual indicated that roughly, I think, $1 million or a couple $1 million worth of fines could have been generated if police were using the camera system. And I imagine also had a strategy that involved posting officers nearby. Right? So Lester Cox's show, I started with Lester Cox in 2014. That's 10 years ago. We know that the technology exists. We just don't know why the technology is not being used. I would have hoped to have heard more about it coming out of the Royal Bahamas Police Force's inaugural Tech Expo. Perhaps I need to invite members of the force on to give us a follow-up or recap on that discussion. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Everything good, Aaron.
Good.
So earlier on, I was listening to you, especially when you talk about the relationship and how important positive relationships are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look very carefully and closely mm-hmm. at the Western culture that we follow,
mm-hmm.
that is being led by the Americans,
mm-hmm.
and what we experience, what's going on in America right now, because we follow basically 90% of what they do.
Well, cultural imperialism means we absorb more of their culture than we do of ours. I feel you.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
So at the crux of their society, as we watch it crumble, is the complete evaporation and erosion of the family. Mm-hmm. Now, this started 20 years ago when Macaulay Culkin divorced his mummy and daddy. So as we go and continue to see, I'll give you an example. There's this artist, music artist in America, mm-hmm. Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
And now and I'm not a religious person,
mm-hmm.
but he's making a mockery. He's making a mockery of the Christian religion, which in a lot of us learned our values from that.
Mm-hmm.
And he has 20 million followers. And he is on this campaign that family, forget family. I will do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it, because that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, this social erosion that we are now witnessing, that is literally causing a depletion in our population. Because if man and woman don't come together and procreate, literally, because of this, we are witnessing that we have one child per family now. If that, mm-hmm. or none, and you have people late into their 30s, no kids, no family. So from that institution, it is gone. And because of that, there will be no more actual people to have any society. And I believe our politics, our religion, our economic institutions, and et cetera, are now all starting to feel the bite of this individualistic, imperialistic eye with old family, and that is at the crux, and is a direct correlation and causation of why our problems are coming from the erosion of the family.
I got you. Now, stick with me for a second. I really appreciate what you're saying, especially when you mentioned Lil Nas X, right? Lil Nas X came on the scene. He had this shock factor, openly, outwardly homosexual, and then into a what people call a mockery of Christian faith, right? Watch this. You think that parents today, especially those who've grown up on hip-hop and rap like us, right? Do you think that they sit with their children and they interrogate the lyrics of these songs with their children in the same way that they sat and interrogated every single lyric in the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef? Like people took delight. People took delight in that conversation, in all of the intellectual interrogation of Kendrick Lamar's lyrics, how he's dissing up Drake. Drake's response. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of hours of content generated from that. But are these same people also taking the time to interrogate rap and hip-hop and pop music lyrics and videos, equally importantly, videos with their children? Lil Nas X is like a 300-level university course on hip-hop lyrics and interpretation. You got to see. Adults need to sit and think about it. Like, we're so unconsciously absorbing this music. So I feel you, but I don't think it is the music itself. It's our lack of engagement around the music and young people. Every single, like last week, How'd It Go Delilah, trying to get them on the eye opener one side. They coming up soon. They coming on soon. How'd It Go Delilah, Nuri, is a whole thesis on the Bahamian experience, longing, like how in the U.S., they say you go out, you become 16, you get your license, and you go out and you find yourself. Mm-hmm. How'd It Go Delilah is a love story. It's a longing, right? Delilah could have been anything. Delilah could have been Miami to go to school, right? I just got to get to Miami. I got to get out of here. I got to see what opportunities exist. My love's somewhere out there. All of us have had that longing, that desire. You don't even have to go to Miami. Family Islanders, children who grow up stuck on the family island. I tell you all over and over again the story of James and George Pratt from Long Island, the fishermen. They built a boat to sail to Nassau to find their wives. Right? All of these songs are an opportunity for us to explore and know ourselves better, and our parents taking up that responsibility with their children and their exposure to to pop culture. Yes, it's a lot of work. Yes, our lives are already busy, but the children are going to absorb it whether you are there to help them understand it or not. It's best to carve out some space to help them understand it. And don't think that you could just ban the music from your house and they ain't going to never hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They hearing it. In fact, y'all see all the little children who know the lyrics to You Can't Muggle Like Me?
Mm.
Right? What a wonderful opportunity. The children already love the song. They already know it. Take that opportunity to help them build critical thinking skills by interrogating the things around them. Let's go to the phone line, producer, and then I'm going to get to this last headline. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Erin again.
Hi.
Is that Mr. Neary with you?
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Mr. Neary. Happy Monday.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Erin, speaking about music and children.
Yes.
I'm an adventist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a what you call it, banquet one year
mm-hmm.
where the DJ was talking about music and children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most parents, especially Christian parents, or their children don't know this, and their children don't know that. So in the middle of a nice gospel song,
mm-hmm.
the DJ just quickly switch the music mm-hmm. and throw on...
Under the blood, me say, under the blood. Not that A.
No, not that guy.
Okay.
He quickly throw on a reggae, an old dub, a reggae song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he left it on for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shut clear. When he shut clear, half the room was singing.
Mm-hmm.
On the children, you see the parents looking at the children because they couldn't hear the children singing with the music. Also, he just quickly shut the music down,
mm-hmm.
and the children then were stuck in that last word or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the place light right up. I giggled till I fall in my chair because it was amazing to see the look on certain parents' face that they seem to think the children, like you say, children know these and hear these songs in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did for my young ones growing up, and when they get a certain age, I went to a music store and I sat with the guy and I allowed him to record some of like the old dubs and stuff. You know, the older dubs and stuff don't have like no
the sexual content
and weird words in it.
Yeah, and the sexual
and
content.
Life story.
Yeah.
So I let him record a good couple of them, and I took the CDs home and I let my children listen. And today they grown up. And those types of songs are your favorite?
Mm-hmm. One second. One second. Producer, Prep Long Island by Johnny Cake. I don't know if you have it on YouTube, if I sent it to you last week. Just you make me cause me play one Bahamian music to end the show.
Yeah, so you have to remember, allow your children to listen to what they can listen to, even if you let them listen to it at home with their headphones.
Mm.
Pick what you want them to hear, and as they grow, they will stick with that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's come to my attention that we're teaching children how to be adults the same way we're teaching young people how to drive. Not at all. Just not at all. We're just letting them figure it out. In the same way, everywhere you go, we're just letting them figure it out. Also, let's just go back to Abaco quickly. Yes, there's something drastically wrong. I don't know if technology solutions will be the same on Abaco, but perhaps we need more officers on Abaco, and perhaps we need to remind people that you don't even have a pretend hospital on Abaco. All you have are pretend clinics. And so it's more likely that someone will succumb from an injury on Abaco than succumbing from the same injury in New Providence. And surely that should guide our driving culture. Again, producer, last story before we go. I just have to get this on the record. This is from the Nassau Guardian, 11th of June, 2024. Man remanded on sex charge. A 36-year-old man accused of molesting a preteen girl and rendering her unconscious was yesterday denied bail. Kenton Capron faced two counts of unlawful sexual intercourse and one count of garroting the 12-year-old girl when he appeared before the senior magistrate.
What is garroting?
Garroting, G-A-R-O-T-T-I-N-G, is when you take a thin wire and you wrap it, you use it to strangle somebody. It's usually attached to two pieces of wood or two handles on either end, and you use that to cut off the airways in someone's throat.
He did it to a 12-year-old?
This is what the story is saying, that he is facing two counts of unlawful sexual intercourse and one count of garroting the 12-year-old girl. The crimes allegedly took place between August 1st, 2023 and September the 30th. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Newry. Thank you to the audience and to the Texas. We're going to continue this conversation. We got to talk about the things, all the things. Uncomfortable, happy, we got to talk about them. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
I gone to Long Island, almost lost my head. Met a gal from Clarendon, she was thick and red. Took her by the bar, asked her what she won't get. She said she's drinking anything that gets her tipsy or wet. Well then, I'll be your bartender, I can mix you something real nice.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.